The RTE Rugby Podcast.
Yeah, and you're very welcome to the RTE Rugby Podcast ahead of the final round of the RBS Six Nations Championship. Not the position many thought Ireland would be in ahead of England on Saturday, but the nature and brilliance of this tournament, I suppose, means that nothing is certain. And England, with a Grand Slam and a world record in their own right at their mercy, coming to Dublin, searching, I suppose, to upset the Irish on St Patrick's weekend. We're looking forward to it nonetheless. Later on in the programme, we're going to hear from CJ Stander and from Ireland women's captain Paula Fitzpatrick on their preparations ahead of Friday night's crucial championship game against England in Donnybrook. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in studio by Leinster and Ireland international Mike McCarthy. You're very welcome, Mike.
Thanks very much for having me.
First of all, generally speaking, have you enjoyed the Six Nations Championship? I suppose, kind of from the outside looking in now, how have you found the last few weeks?
As a supporter, I've been a bit frustrated myself, as the guys didn't get off to the best start against Scotland away. They had a poor first half, but the second half they were fantastic, and probably should have come away with a win. Very frustrating for the lads last week against Wales. I actually felt that they should have also won that game. The Maul try at the end there, where I think they would have scored whether Robbie had joined or not. Then they would have been a point ahead with 5-10 minutes to go, and I would have backed them to win. So but unfortunately they're not in the position they would have liked to have been in. But it tees it up for a very exciting final day.
That Henshaw thing just hammered the thing. The back, stay out of the forwards, stay out of the pack. You don't know what you're doing, really, so just stay where you are.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, to be fair to him, I'm not sure how many backs would actually understand that rule. Yeah. So it's unfortunate for Robbie because he was just trying to get in there and help out, help the team, and just unfortunately got done.
Yeah. It's tongue in cheek by me, but you can see exactly why he was doing it, and it's the will to win, like everybody else. So.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at it, the lead up to that point, Robbie actually put the fantastic kick in to get that field position. Mm. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So look, we're not gonna hammer Robbie this weekend. Yeah, yeah. As a guy, obviously you grew up in England, who would have played club rugby as well in England before you came to Ireland full time. Like, you must be looking on and what Eddie Jones has done in the last while, and particularly in the last few weeks, and say, hang on, these guys are actually playing some pretty good rugby at the moment.
Yeah, they're playing, 18 match run unbeaten, and hopefully that's gonna get ended tomorrow. Yeah. But it's amazing. They've done really well. They've been playing some great rugby. I think they started off quite slowly in the Six Nations. I know they had a number of injuries, and they've been gathering momentum. That last game against Scotland, they really put them to the sword.
And it was awesome, yeah.
They've got a very strong bench, and then Billy Vunipola's back fit, and he's back starting now. So they are gathering momentum. But I was reading about Martin Johnson was saying about he's worried about the mental side for England, because they obviously beat Scotland very, very heavily.
And they won the championship too, so...
Yeah, they won the championship too, and, Ireland are going to be really hurting from the last game, and playing at home, last time playing at home for 8 months, so they're really going to be hoping to put on a performance.
Yeah, and that was something that came into my head this week, was how up for it will England be? But I suppose back-to-back Grand Slams is a huge thing to have on your belt, and also that possibility of beating the New Zealand record in their own right. Eddie Jones doesn't strike me as the type of guy who will allow them to be complacent this week. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, all the chat coming from their camp is that they've trained very well, and the only thing that matters is this game at the weekend. They're not looking any further than that. But what England have done is pretty amazing. But Ireland did it to New Zealand, and hopefully they can do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So look, the Irish performances so far, like, it just for whatever reason hasn't clicked in. And last weekend, you looked at the starting 15 that was there. You had Sean O'Brien, you had all the big players, you had Johnny Sexton, Conor Murray, obviously, before he went off. But certainly we had what many would consider our strongest 15 available for selection and on the pitch. So it's kind of hard to actually figure out where Ireland are going wrong at the moment, and why they just aren't able to hit the heights that many people thought that they would hit.
Yeah, exactly. I think the bar's been set. Excuse me. The bar's been set so high with the victories over New Zealand, South Africa, and Australia. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot to live up to. Test match rugby is such small margins. The smallest thing can make the difference between the winning and losing of the game. Mm. And as I said before, they started slowly against Scotland in the first half, and kind of the game got away from them, and then they showed great spirit in the second half to come back and nearly win it. And again, with Wales, it's just a couple of small things not going their way. Mm. And that's the game lost. But I've full faith tomorrow that with the home crowd behind them and, you know, a good start and, you know, they'll do the job.
I mean, when you were playing with the Irish squad and, you know, championship winning runs as well, you know, I'm trying to remember back here and maybe you can correct me. Like, it was the fine margins that went with Ireland when Joe Schmidt won the back-to-back Six Nations titles. That games that perhaps, you think of the England game as well, the first time round, you know, the manner in which they went out against Scotland, the small little things clicked into place to win. Is it as simple as those small things now just aren't clicking and that's maybe why we're not getting over the line?
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, you need a little bit of luck as well. And, you know, maybe we probably haven't had that in those two games we lost to Scotland and Wales. But we keep talking about that Scotland and Wales game. But, you know, they played very well against France at home. So, yeah, just hopefully they'll finish strong now.
The criticism has been that we're not executing in the 22 or with the chances that we create for ourselves, we're not able to take those chances. Like, and we're kind of saying, well, why is that? Like, have you any kind of idea what might be going on out there?
I think, you know, the lineup hasn't probably functioned as well as it has done in the past. When you look where a lot of Ireland's tries have come from in the last two or three years, it comes from a great set piece platform. Now the scrum has been very good, but the line out the last few games hasn't been where they'd want it to be. You saw I think one occasion Alan Wynne-Jones getting up and stealing a ball at the tail of the line out, and if you're losing those ball, that possession in those areas of the field is massive. And
because it's a massive area for Ireland. I mean, traditionally Ireland has been pretty good, and you look at Atoji. You look at the jumpers that are available, you know, Courtney Laws as well in that English pack. They have three or four guys who can get up there this weekend and really cause us problems.
Oh, exactly. And when you look back to that All Blacks game where we beat them in Chicago, a lot of the pressure we put on New Zealand was from winning good line-out ball and getting a maul drive going, which they couldn't deal with. And the same with the scrum. But, you know, England have got a lot of threats in the air as well. Toji, Launchbury, Haskell, and then Tom Wood coming off the bench. Yeah. So, you know, they'll be very good at the line out and putting pressure on. And, you know, it's Dev's obviously on the bench. And
were you surprised at that? I mean, given that he is our go-to man in the line out, and I think England might look at our pack now and say, actually, we can stop these guys getting first phase ball.
Yeah, no, I don't think necessarily. I think Donnacha Ryan has called a lot before, and you know, when I played in a couple of campaigns with him calling, he's a really good caller, and I can tell you he certainly puts the work in behind the scenes, which he's obviously learned that from playing with Paulie.
Yeah.
So I can remember.
You have no worries about that.
I haven't got no worries. No, I can remember going down to the team room for a snack, and you know, Donnacha Ryan would be up there on the laptops, you know, looking at footage, going through games, and you know, he would have definitely done his homework.
Yeah, so Devon Toner, maybe unfortunate for him that, you know, he's not on the bench, but you wouldn't have any worries that we can still, with Henderson coming in, with Donnacha Ryan there as well, and obviously Jamie Heaslip as an option, that we actually have enough to be able to retain our own line and even put pressure on what England can do.
Oh, definitely, yeah, I think so. And, you know, Hendy obviously offers a lot more in terms of ball carrying around the park, and he's very aggressive in defence, which is what we're going to need. But, you know, Hendy's very good in the line-out as well. He gets, for such a big man, he's pretty explosive and gets up very well. And then, you know, if we are struggling, we can always get Peter Marnie on, who's great on your own ball, but he's also extremely disruptive on opposition ball.
Yeah.
You can put him up at the front on a one-man lift, and that allows you to set two pods in the middle and back of the line-out. So it cuts out a lot of options for the opposition.
Okay, well, I just want to take a quick break to hear from CJ Stander. He's been speaking to Damien O'Mara. Firstly, about the squad's desire to get back on the field and to banish the hurt from Wales last weekend. Have a listen.
Yeah, especially when it's a long week, you know, when you play on a Friday, you still have the open weekend, you know, so it is tough. But when you get into camp, you know, there's a job you have to do. And as you said, now the game day is what everyone's looking forward to. I think we worked hard this week, and we know what we want to go out as players, go out and do, you know, and concentrate on us, you know, because I think we played against ourselves a bit, against Wales, and I think that's a bit disappointing for us. But we have a big game this weekend, looking forward to it.
Can we look at it in a way as almost one last opportunity to show fully what this squad is capable of if we can make things gel and make things go according to plan?
Yeah, I think especially last week and against Scotland, you know, we played against ourselves a bit and we lost a few balls or lost in concentration in the game, you know, where we could have got points or got possession out of the game, you know. But I think that's exactly what we're going out to do this weekend. I think there's a lot of players that's putting up their hands, you know, to be in a team and be in a starting team, you know. So there's a lot on the line for individuals and for us as a team, you know. We want to go out there and show that we can perform at a high level week in and week out.
And that motivation is probably stronger than, you know, people will talk about trying to deny England a Grand Slam, but the motivation for this squad to maintain what's a very good record at home and also try and finish the championship on a high, that eclipses everything else.
Yeah, I think England has their own motivation, you know. So for us, going out there to get in their way is not really what we stand for, what we want to do, you know. So yeah, the motivation just to go out there and prove it to ourselves really and to the coaches that if they give us the opportunity, we go out there and perform, you know, and perform at a high level, as I said earlier. I think that's a big motivation for this week.
Has it been a frustrating couple of weeks overall? Do we have to look at it in a way as a championship that got away from us to an extent?
It is tough, you know. I think frustration after games, especially, you know, where we left it on the pitch, you know, where we could have got the bonus point or just the win out of it, you know, with the last try or last kick to post, you know. But we were in there, we were in the fight, but I think we just left it too late. And it's tough if you look back at it, you know, when you want to win everything you're playing, you know. So it is tough to take, but there's still a lot to win out of this.
How highly do you regard this England team? Because, you know, the record they've built up and to win back-to-back championships, it just shows they are amongst the best teams in the world, if not the best team in the world at the moment.
Oh yeah, they're certainly up there. I think they were disappointed a few months ago, you know, when they just showed the way they came back out from there. And to get any games in a row, you don't do that. It doesn't happen every year, you know, and it just shows the great team and coaching staff they have. And we know the threats they're going to have this weekend, and we know what will it mean for them to get that record, you know. But as I said, we're just going to go out this week and play for ourselves and for the jersey, you know, to live in a better place, because there's a lot still at stake. I think the world rankings are still out there, and we want to be in a good spot to go into the World Cup.
What's impressed you most about England and how they've continued to develop, and areas of their play in particular that perhaps are head and shoulders above the other teams you've come up against of late?
I think they play massively off their set piece. I think their scrum is quite good, but I think their line-out is their strongest point. You know, they always, I think they've got a 95% winning streak from the line-out, and the backs get the ball, you know. I think Ford and Farrell and Joseph next to each other, you know, they just did magic, you know. They score unbelievable tries, and I think the mix between the forwards and the backs and just the running lines they're running and the physicality they bring to the team is something England always had, but I think it's stepped up to another level now, and I think that's what makes them one of the best teams in the world.
When we look at it from an Irish perspective, you know, you as a group of players have been forced to talk time and time again about little areas that just haven't quite gone right. How do you change that? How do you develop maybe a more clinical sense on a week like this? Is it just a case of hoping everything will click into place, or is there anything you can plan to make the ball stick, to, you know, do away with those unforced errors?
I think we're a team that knows our role in and out, you know, every week and week out, you know. So I think just to make sure that you do fix those things in early time in the week, Monday on a Tuesday, and go out on Saturday and know you've done your job and done your work, you know, go out there and be clinical, as you said, you know, because those things lose you the game or they lose you position on the pitch, you know. I think we're all professional players that can fix that. It's just easy striking your head, you know, so it doesn't happen. Rarely it happens week in and week out, so I think those things will, weeks like this, sort themselves out.
Just a final question. Obviously, Connor's been ruled out through injury, and Kieran Marmion comes in and, you know, has put his body on the line for Ireland on plenty of occasions in the past. But it might be an area that England will look to target, that, you know, he hasn't had as much game time as Connor of late. Is there an extra role for the back row to protect him this weekend?
Not really. You know, I think Moms always looks after himself. You know, if he's coming to teams, he's playing on the wings for us a few times. And for a small guy, he puts a big shift in, you know, and I think he's a big man. He can look after himself. So, I think he's looking forward to this, and he wants this chance, you know, and he's put up his hand hard the last few weeks, and I'm delighted for him, you know, and I think he'll look after himself with a week like this.
OK, so CJ standing there. The back row has been an area, Mike, that I suppose has been highlighted, that potentially there could have been changes made. And the main reasons for, behind this thinking was that essentially we have three massive ball carriers in Sean O'Brien, Jamie Heaslip and CJ Stander, and they're actually very similar. And what Wales did very well last weekend was with Tiprig and Warburton, they actually stole a lot of ball on the ground, they were quicker than around to the breakdown, and actually that's an area that they really hurt us. Would you have changed things up, or do the guys deserve another go, do you think?
No, I don't think you need to change it up. I mean, you look at those guys. Those guys figured massively in the three huge victories we had against, as I said, South Africa, Australia and New Zealand. So I don't think you need to panic and change things. These guys are proven. They've been playing extremely well. And, you know, they're great players, and I expect to see, you know, probably the three of them on the Lions tour. So
they're still quite similar, though, aren't they, in their approach? And like, you know, Sean O'Brien has played seven so many times in his career. It's just that you think of the typical Jackal, fast-running, Tipperick, say, and Sean O'Brien isn't that style of player. The argument was maybe we just need to change how we approach our play in the back row. But you don't agree?
No, I wouldn't change it. I think the lads are really going to be hurting. I know from being in camp, when you've lost a game, you're in camp and it's tough when you've lost a game and they'll really be hurting. They need no more motivation than playing England and the chance to, you know, burst their bubble and break their 18-match losing run. It happened in 2011, yeah. Hopefully it'll be the same now tomorrow.
So, what's Joe Schmidt like to play under? Like, he has this reputation as like a fierce taskmaster, and I think we've listened to a lot of players say, "Look, he is." But I mean, how did you find playing under him?
I really enjoyed it. He is a hard taskmaster, but I think he brings the best out in players. He sets the bar very high, and he always has, you know, you as a player questioning, can you be doing more? Should you be doing more? When you're in camp, and I mentioned Donica Ryan there earlier, but you know, you see all the lads work extremely hard, and they're always wanting to do more homework. Look at the opposition, analyse the opposition, make sure they've got their own detail right of, you know, where the men are be for their own plays, and you know, like there is a bit of a fear factor, which I think is good because it brings out the best in the players, and you can see that by the results. We keep going back to those three games, beating the Southern Hemisphere teams, beating New Zealand for the first time in Chicago.
The last few results haven't really gone, or you know, what the way we would have expected. And I suppose I'm kind of wondering. And you know, is there too much analysis going on? Is there too much focus on what might happen in certain situations? Like, rugby is a sport. It's a sport that you play what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, coaching is a massive influence on how games go. But are they too analytical of what they should be doing? In other words,
I don't think so. No, I think the hunger to work hard and be the best prepared you possibly can be, it gives players confidence. If you're in camp all week and you know you're going to bed at night, you know you couldn't really have done any more in terms of looking at the opposition. What are they doing? What are you expecting? And you know your detail. You know where you're meant to be, and you're not going to be letting your own teammates down. I think that breeds confidence, and then as the week goes on and it comes closer to the game, you've got all that information banked. You kind of know what to expect from the opposition, and then it's really about concentrating on bringing the physicality for the game. So you know, I think the way the lads prepare in camp, it's you know, couldn't be any better, to be honest.
Yeah, and like that's, I suppose, you know, the modern game, the professional game, you totally understand and get why as much information as is possible is a huge advantage, and I understand that totally. Just even listening to Joe Schmidt in the aftermath of the Wales game, and he mentioned the penalty count in Ireland's favour, and that seems to be kind of a go-to thing for him as well, that he's a big guy for discipline and not giving away silly penalties, which on the one hand you can understand, but on the other hand sometimes maybe you need to get stuck in and compete and not worry too much about giving away the odd penalty here or there.
It is a discipline is a massive thing with Joe. You know, likes to have less than 10 penalties a game. And I mentioned before, test matches are won on such small margins. So, you know, giving a stupid penalty away, which gives them the opportunity to play in the right area of the field, can be the winning losing of the game. So, yeah, it's I think Joe sees it as a point of difference. If you can give less penalties away from the opposition and paint good pictures to the referee from early on in the game and get the referee on your side, that goes a long way to the result of the game.
Still, look at you're a physical player. You know, most second row forwards are. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to throw down a marker, right? You just need to say, you know what, if I do get pinged for this, fine, but I'm going to put down a marker here and show these lads we're not going to let them bully us around the place and push us off the ball.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think that's kind of a bit more old school. But with kind of you would have got away with stuff a bit more in the past. You don't really get away with the dark arts, which is what I think you're speaking about. It's all about being physical. How aggressively can you clear someone out from a ruck? How aggressive can you be in the maul defence? Can you get on top of them in the scrum? How hard can you run at someone and knock them back? That's the kind of physicality that you're looking at nowadays.
Conor Murray is out this week. He failed a late fitness test as well, and Kieran Marmion is in. I mean, look, you spent a lot of time in Connacht. Kieran Marmion for me is one of the best scrum halves in the country. I thought he did a really good job when he came on against Wales as well in difficult circumstances. Given, I think it's great to see him get a chance. What do you reckon?
Oh, definitely. He's an absolute live wire.
Yeah.
He's the front five's worst nightmare. So, the fatties like myself and Mike Ross, after 50, 60 minutes, see him. You don't want to be stuck beside a ruck, and, he can make a fool of you. He's very fast. He makes good decisions around the ruck, and, he's really good at sniping. The only thing I think the difference between himself and Conor Murray is Conor Murray's the best box kicker in the world. And I think with the weather conditions are supposed to be a bit damp and wet, that's one area which might weaken us a bit, because, Conor Murray, we saw in that France game, it's so frustrating for the opposition. He kicks a box kick, a deep contestable box kick with a good chase, and Ireland will win the ball back, or they'll get field position. So, the two of them, Sexton and Murray, playing together, it's very hard to work your way up the field. They just relieve pressure and put pressure back on the opposition. But saying that, it's a great opportunity for Kieran to come in.
I suppose it's an area as well that we need to develop strength and depth,
exactly.
Don't we?
Yeah, he needs. I mean, there's no doubt he's going to be there for the future. So as much the more experience he gets, the better it's going to be for him. So I'm really excited to see. And then Luke McGrath coming in on the bench is really exciting as well.
Yeah, I remember watching him play for Ireland under 20s and even at schools level as well. Yeah. And just thinking, this guy has something pretty special, Luke McGrath.
Yeah. He's been carving up for us. Similar to Kieran Marmion. He's a real threat, really fast, makes good decisions, and hopefully he'll get a good run and get a good bit of game time.
I was kind of tweeting out during the week, as I usually do, just like to kind of stir it up a bit for no reason and bring loads of trouble on myself, but I was saying Joey Carberry might be a bolter to come into the squad for the last couple of rounds, because I've watched him play with you guys for Leinster. We obviously saw what he did against New Zealand in Chicago, and then he got that bad injury, but he seems to me to just have something really special. Is that overstating it? You see him every day.
No, definitely. He's definitely got that X factor, hasn't he? He obviously played in that New Zealand game, which was pretty amazing for your first test to play against New Zealand
one,
to beat them.
So
it was a great start for him. And then unfortunately he had that injury. And, usually when you're out for a period of time, you can't replicate match fitness. It's very hard to replicate match fitness. But Joey came back in, played a few games for Leinster, and it was as if he'd never been away. He was making breaks left, right and centre. So he's certainly got that X factor. He sees space very well. He puts great kicks in, and he's very elusive and hard to, again, for the likes of myself and Mike Ross, he's kind of impossible. You get a bit worried when you see him in the defensive line.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, it's out now, obviously, and it's well public news that you're leaving Leinster at the end of the season. Like, you're 35 years of age now, and would it be fair to say you were perhaps thinking about maybe calling it a day, and then all of a sudden this offer comes along in France, and you think, hang on, something different, great.
Yeah. It's. I'm 35 now, and
sorry for reminding you.
I did think about retiring at the end of the season. Certainly did think about it. I've had a frustrating time the last, I suppose, year and a half with injury. Obviously got that pretty bad concussion in the France game last year and got stood down for the rest of the season. But the RFU medical staff and Leinster medical staff looked after me really well. Had my best interests at heart. This season has been frustrating. I've had, the first half of the season had a lot of niggly injuries, which was kind of, I was coming back and then be out for a few weeks and then back again. But I've been involved the last few games, and, hopefully I'll have a strong finish to the season, and that would be a great way to go out. We're going pretty well on both fronts, but there's a lot of rugby to be played still. I've always had in the back of my mind, I'd like to play a bit of rugby in France, and the offer for a 2 year in Narbonne, came up, beautiful part of the world. Yeah. I think it's 2 hour drive to Barcelona, an hour to Montpellier, and a chance to learn a new language.
Yeah, you know, how is your French, by the way?
I start lessons next week. We've got a tutor coming around to the house, but okay. I can say a few things. Je mange le beefsteak dans la chambre, et je écoute la musique dans la bibliothèque. Je déteste. I can say a few bits. I was chatting a bit. I saw Sexto the other day. I was having a bit of a yarn.
Because his French is pretty good.
Oh yeah, his is pretty good. So he's giving me a few lessons. But it's a bit of an adventure to go there, and I'm excited by it. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I suppose when you look back on your career, I mean, is Ireland home for you now? I mean, I know you've got a family here and stuff like that. I mean, would you call it Ireland your home, or is that...
Oh, yeah, definitely hope to come back to live in Dublin.
Okay.
As you know, I was born in London. My my grandparents are Irish from Belmullet in Mayo, kind of the bleakest part of Ireland, which is, obviously very proud of. But yeah, I've lived in Connacht for 6 years and now here for 4 or 5 years, and I absolutely loved my time in Galway, and I love Dublin, and I certainly hope to return after my little adventure in France.
Yeah, and it should be a brilliant one as well. Okay, well look, I just wanted to go to the Women's International this weekend. Ireland taking on England at Donnybrook on Friday night. Ireland just about getting over the line in a few games to get to this stage, but the important and crucial thing for them is that they do have a championship still within their own grasp. England coming to town, who've just blitzed the opposition in the last four rounds. Let's hear from the Irish captain, Paula Fitzpatrick.
We're treating it like a cup final. It's 80 minutes left of the season for us, really, and it's all or nothing. So, I think we need to definitely kind of calm things down and temper emotions and everything at this time of the week, and gradually build it up to Friday.
And you try and switch the pressure off Ireland and all onto England, because to be fair, they've been like a thunderstorm while they were through this championship.
Yeah, they've been performing really well. They've been racking up a fair few scores on teams. It'll be a huge challenge for us, but one that we're really relishing and looking forward to. I mean, Friday night, Paddy's Day, huge crowd in Donnybrook, should be a really exciting game.
Is it fair to say, I mean, you've played four matches, you've won the four games, but you've yet to hit the peak that everybody knows is within there?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're a little bit within ourselves still. We've been getting the results, obviously, sometimes just about. But I think there's a lot more in us, and I think we're looking forward to bringing it out on Friday.
I mean, one of the things that certainly has come across in the matches you've played is that you literally play until the final whistle. I mean, some of the matches have been kind of, the last couple of minutes that you've actually pulled away and won.
Yeah, which is something we, weren't doing in November. That was kind of when we were, again, the England game, 10-12, we went down a score, I think, in the last 20 minutes. So that's really encouraging to see from us, is that we are becoming kind of that kind of 80-minute team. It's just about, again, getting a great start against them on Friday and being able to carry that through. They're a quality team. They're obviously going to have a purple patch in the game. And it's just about how we can weather that storm, and then how we can also impose ourselves on the game as well.
And I mean, you've learned lessons throughout all of the games. I mean, you've grown together as a group, but you've learned together as well.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously we do our analysis the whole way along, and there's always things to improve, and there's always things that we want to fix. So this week is no different. We've approached it the same way that we have every other week, and I suppose looking at England, they're really, really talented side. They've got threats in the forwards and out in the back line. So it'll be all about kind of physicality and, I suppose, winning the breakdown, and we'll see what happens then.
It's kind of strange, isn't it, that, even though the Six Nations has been on for a period of time, it's only your second home game of the competition this year.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It's a funny one. The atmosphere against France was fantastic. It really was, and I think it helped us to get a great start that game. So hopefully it'll be the same again on Friday night now, and the crowd can really come into it.
I mean, it's close to being sold out as we sit here and talk about it. The fact that there's a game on beforehand, you're kind of already guaranteed the overflow crowd from that as well. It could be a rather special atmosphere.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we're hoping for. Definitely, hopefully everybody gets out and supports, and hopefully it's not too. I hear it's supposed to rain, so hopefully it's not too bad weather. Hopefully we can make it a great night.
And I mean, you do have the opportunity to do something that has rarely been done by an Irish team, regardless of what level they play at, to go through a Six Nations Championship unbeaten to create your own bit of history.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, back in 2013, Ireland have done it before with admittedly a whole other group of players, I suppose. But I mean, there were some amazingly talented players in that squad, and to follow in their footsteps would be fantastic. The likes of Fiona Coughlin and Lynn Cantwell and Joy Neville. I mean, for this group of players to come from where they've come from to achieve that would be fantastic. But again, we can't look any further ahead than the game on Friday. There's no point getting carried away with kind of making history and whatever else, because it won't matter unless you perform on the day.
How hard or how is it your job as the captain or otherwise to try and contain the enthusiasm and the excitement that most definitely will be there, you know, within this group?
Yeah, there definitely is excitement there, which is a great thing. But yeah, I think the girls all know themselves. It's about, I suppose, controlling that emotion, that excitement, and turning it into a positive for us. It can sometimes go either way with psychology. It can be overcooked or undercooked, but it's about finding that balance and being able to use the nerves and the crowd and everything to fuel yourself and put in a huge performance rather than letting it overwhelm you and overtake you.
Yeah, so Paula there, and it should be a cracking night tomorrow night. The 20s, first of all, at 6 o'clock, and then the Women's International kicks off at 10 past 8, both live on RT television. Okay, so look, that's about it. It's been a pleasure having you in. Are we going to beat England on Saturday?
Oh, I definitely think so, yeah. We need to start well. We need to get the crowd behind us at the Aviva, and you know, if we start well and sow those seeds of doubt into the English side early on, I certainly believe we can, yeah.
Yeah, well, if Ireland can't get up for stopping England taking a world record on St. Patrick's weekend in Dublin, there's no hope for the rest of us. So, look, it's been a pleasure. And listen, enjoy France, right? It's brilliant. We're delighted for you. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Nice one. The RTE Rugby Podcast.